A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know that moment when you're genuinely disappointed your partner bought a stylish toilet paper holder because it meant you couldn't install one from a McDonald's catalog? Daniel's living that moment, and he sent us the whole saga. Here's what Daniel wrote. He recently moved over to the Eurobox system, an industrial shelving, which has been a great success. But then he found himself looking for industrial toilet paper holders, only to have Hannah inform him she'd just purchased a stylish one, dashing his dreams of using the toilet next to a dispenser pulled from a McDonald's catalog. He isn't easily defeated, though. They needed a rubbish bin in the new rental, so he moved quickly and got one of those factory floor-style bins. Now he's asking, what are some other replacements for typical consumer household goods that can be bought from industrial suppliers for a reasonable price? Andy gave us a pattern. What the Eurobox is to the IKEA Sema. What a gastronorm pan is to consumer leftover storage. Continue the pattern.
This is the most Daniel prompt we've ever received.
It really is. He lost the toilet paper battle, but immediately pivoted to a factory floor bin before anyone could stop him.
The man understands operational tempo.
So today we're going to follow that pattern to its logical conclusion, and maybe save you some money while making your apartment look like a loading dock. Herman, you've been digging into this. What's the actual logic here?
There's a deeper logic, and Daniel essentially spelled it out without naming it. The pattern is standards. Industrial products are built to comply with specific DIN or EN or OSHA standards. Euroboxes follow DIN EN 1399, Gastronorm pans follow EN 631, and those standards govern dimensions, materials, durability, stackability. Once a product has to meet a standard, the market becomes a commodity market. You're not paying for a brand story or a design language. You're paying for compliance with a spec.
So the standard is the product, and the brand is irrelevant.
The brands compete on price and durability, not on whether the trash can makes you feel something. The consumer market is the opposite. The product is secondary to the story. A simple human trash can isn't selling you polyethylene. It's selling you the idea that you're the kind of person who owns a considered trash can.
$120 for a garbage receptacle that whispers, "You have your life together."
Versus $35 for a Rubbermaid brute that says, "I'm here to hold refuse, and I'll outlive your grandchildren."
That's the tension. The brute does the job better, costs less, lasts longer, and looks like it belongs in a janitor's closet. Daniel's whole prompt is about navigating that gap. How do you get the industrial durability and pricing without your home feeling like a custodial supply room?
Let's start with the products, because the products are revelatory. Daniel's starting point was storage containers, Euroboxes versus IKEA Samla. A Eurobox from Uline or Berry Global runs $8 to $15. An IKEA Samla bin is $5 to $12, comparable on first purchase. But the Eurobox is polypropylene that doesn't shatter at minus 20 Celsius, has interlocking lids that actually stack securely, and the dimensions follow the DIN standard, 600 millimeters deep, fitting standard industrial shelving perfectly. The Samla lasts 3 to 5 years before the plastic gets brittle. A Eurobox will go 10 years easy. I've seen Euroboxes in restaurant kitchens in service since the 90s.
The hidden cost is the shelving, though. You can't just put Euroboxes in a standard closet.
Right. You need boltless rivet shelving, keyhole slots, particle board decks. A 4-shelf unit from Global Industrial runs about $100 but holds 800 pounds per shelf. An IKEA Colax 4x4 is $69 and holds maybe 50 pounds per cube before the dowels start to complain.
So the upfront is higher. $100 for shelving plus maybe $60 for Euroboxes. But you're done for a decade versus replacing Samla bins every few years.
And the dimensions are the quiet genius. Standard kitchen-based cabinets are 610 millimeters deep. Euroboxes are 600. That's a 10mm clearance, tight, but it means a Eurobox slides into a base cabinet like it was designed for it, because both industries settled on roughly the same module.
10mm. That's the gap between looking intentional and jamming a plastic box into your cabinet.
The metric system delivers again.
All right, storage is the gateway drug. What's next?
Kitchen prep and food storage. This is where the Gastronorm pan enters the conversation, and it's maybe the cleanest example of the whole pattern. GN pans follow the EN6 T1 standard. They come in fractional sizes, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, referring to the standard full-size pan. A 1-1 is 530 by 325 millimeters. A 1-2 is half that length, same width.
And the consumer equivalent is what, Pyrex?
Pyrex, Glasslock, whatever the set is at Target. A consumer set runs $10 to $30 for maybe 5 mixed pieces. A single 1-1 GN pan from Web Store is $8 to $25 depending on depth. Per piece, the GN pan is more expensive. But it's oven safe to 300 Celsius, dishwasher safe indefinitely, the lids are silicone sealed stainless steel that won't warp, and the whole system stacks in standardized racks.
Consumer containers are sold as sets with a markup. GN pans are sold as individual units at near cost.
That's the insight. Restaurant supply stores operate on razor-thin margins because their customers are brutally cost-conscious. They'll switch suppliers over a nickel per pan. The prices are essentially the commodity price of stamped stainless steel plus distribution. No lifestyle branding surcharge.
What's the catch?
Two catches. One, GN pans are designed to slide into commercial prep tables or speed racks, not nest in a standard kitchen drawer. You'll want a speed rack or a shelf where they can sit flat. Two, a 1-1 GN pan is roughly 21 by 13 inches, bigger than most home cooks need for leftovers. You'll mostly use 1-2 and 1-3 sizes, more like 9 by 13 and 9 by 6.5 inches.
So you're buying restaurant equipment to store last night's pasta.
And it'll do it beautifully, and the pan will outlast the pasta by several decades. But we should acknowledge the aesthetic dimension. A GN pan on a speed rack looks like a commercial kitchen. Some people love that utilitarian clarity. Other people don't want their home to remind them of their middle school cafeteria. Context is everything.
Let's talk about the bin. Daniel already bought the factory floor bin. What did he actually get?
Almost certainly a Rubbermaid Brute, roto-molded polyethylene, available in 20 to 55 gallon sizes. A 20-gallon Brute runs $25 to $35 from a janitorial supply store. Replacement lids are $8. Virtually indestructible. 20-year service life in commercial settings, which means in a home it'll last effectively forever.
And the consumer equivalent?
A simple human 20-gallon step can is about $120. Fingerprint-proof stainless steel, slow-close lid, custom-fit liner system. Beautiful object. Also has plastic gears in the lid mechanism that can fail, and replacement parts are expensive. The Brute has no moving parts. It's a bucket with a lid. Gravity is the only mechanism.
$35 versus $120, and the cheaper one will never break because there's nothing to break.
The aesthetic cost is real, though. The Brute comes in colors, but it's unmistakably commercial, utilitarian proportions, slightly pebbled texture. It doesn't whisper, it announces.
Daniel's strategy seems to be speed. Buy the bin before anyone can object.
The fait accompli approach to interior design. If the bin is already in the kitchen holding trash, the conversation shifts from should we to, well, it's here now.
Until Hannah decides it clashes with the stylish toilet paper holder and the bin migrates to the balcony.
Then you've got a $35 planter, which is still a good deal for a planter that size.
Let's move to lighting.
A 4-foot commercial LED strip fixture from Granger or McMaster Carr runs $30 to $60. These are workshop and warehouse lights with a color rendering index of 90+. Colors look more accurate than under most consumer LED bulbs. The LED arrays are replaceable, so when one fails, you swap the array instead of the whole fixture. Stamped metal housing that dissipates heat properly.
And the consumer equivalent?
Philips Hue light strips run $40 to $100, lower CRI, usually around $80. Integrated LEDs that can't be replaced, when they fail, you throw the whole thing away. Plastic housings that trap heat. But they're sleek, dimmable via app, nice packaging.
So the commercial fixture is better light, longer life, lower cost, and looks like it belongs above a workbench.
Which, in a home office or workshop, is perfect. In a kitchen, you hide it under the cabinets where only the light itself is visible. The fixture disappears, the quality of light remains.
That's one of the strategies. Confine the industrial stuff to backstage areas. We'll get to strategies. Let's finish the product tour. The toilet paper dispenser.
The Bulbrick B289, commercial recessed or surface mounted dispenser, 18 gauge stainless steel. Holds two jumbo rolls, 9 inches in diameter, lasts 3 times longer than standard rolls. Locking mechanism so toddlers can't unroll the entire thing. $28 on Amazon or at a plumbing supply house.
And the consumer version Hanabot.
Probably something from CB2 or West Elm. $49 for a stylish holder that holds one standard roll, no lock, plated zinc, that'll show wear in 2 years. The Bulbrick will look exactly the same in 20 years.
But it looks like a gas station bathroom.
That's not a bug. It's the entire design language. Bulbrick sells to facilities managers who care about vandal resistance and total cost of ownership over a 30-year building life cycle. They're not trying to seduce you.
There's something almost admirable about that. A product that refuses to charm you.
It's the anti-marketing approach. The product is so indifferent to your feelings that it circles back around to being compelling.
So those are the categories. Storage, kitchen prep, waste, lighting, bathroom fixtures. All follow the same pattern. Find the commercial standard. Buy the cheapest compliant version. Except that it looks industrial. Now the hard part. How do you actually live with this stuff?
This is where most people bail. They love the idea of industrial durability and pricing, but they don't want their apartment to look like a break room. I think there are genuine strategies here, not just cope.
Walk me through them.
First strategy. Confine industrial items to backstage areas. Pantry, garage, undersink, utility closet, home office. Spaces where function matters more than form, and where guests rarely go. Your Eurobox shelving lives in the pantry behind a door. Your GN pans live in a cabinet. Your brute bin is in the laundry room. The public-facing rooms stay normal.
The mullet approach. Business in the living room, party in the pantry.
I hate that you put it that way, but yes. Second strategy. Use industrial items as accent pieces. One factory floor bin in the kitchen, not three. One commercial light fixture above the dining table. The industrial object becomes a deliberate design choice rather than an accident of cheapness. It reads as intentional, especially if the rest of the room is warm and residential.
So the contrast does the work. The bin looks more industrial because everything around it's soft.
That's the warehouse loft aesthetic. Exposed brick, warm wood, plants, and one galvanized steel shelf unit. The industrial element becomes a texture in the room, not the whole room.
Third strategy?
Modify or disguise. Spray paint a brute bin in a matte color that matches the room. Add wooden legs to an industrial shelving unit. There are kits for this. Mount a wooden shelf above the Bulbrick dispenser so it reads as part of a composition rather than a lone gas station fixture. The industrial product is the skeleton, and you're adding residential flesh.
That's where the real creativity is. You're not just buying a bin, you're buying a project. Daniel clearly enjoys that. The hunt, the modification, the integration. That's a hobby as much as a purchasing strategy.
Fourth strategy. Lean into the overlap. There are industrial products that have already been domesticated by designers. The Vitzo shelving system is literally industrial shelving with better proportions and a higher price tag. The Muto trash can is essentially a brute with a matte finish and a softer silhouette at 5 times the cost. If you can find the thing at the intersection of industrial durability and residential aesthetics, you pay more, but you get both.
That's the premium version. Instead of buying the cheapest compliant version, you buy the version where a designer already did the aesthetic work.
And sometimes that's worth it. If the choice is between a $28 Bulbrick your partner hates and a $100 Vitsoe-style piece you both like, the $100 is cheaper than a divorce.
Let's talk about the Hannah problem directly. Daniel's prompt is funny, but there's a real tension here. One person wants the McDonald's toilet paper dispenser, the other wants the home to feel like a home.
The real issue isn't the product. It's that industrial design signals temporary or unfinished to a lot of people. It reads as we haven't gotten around to making this space nice yet, rather than we chose this deliberately. And that's a reasonable reaction. Most people's experience of industrial products is in institutional settings where nobody cared how things looked.
So the solution is to make the choice legible as a choice.
Show your partner pictures of elevated industrial spaces, warehouse conversions, loft apartments, Japanese minimalist interiors using commercial kitchen equipment. Find the common ground. Maybe the Bobrick is a bridge too far, but the GN pans in a speed rack with a butcher block top reads as intentional kitchen design. Negotiate the specific objects, not the whole philosophy.
And sometimes you lose the toilet paper battle and win the bin war.
Daniel's approach of rapid unilateral action on the bin is one strategy. I wouldn't recommend it as a general practice, but it worked this time. A bin is a bin. Nobody has strong feelings about bins until they cost $120. The toilet paper dispenser is different. It's at eye level when you're sitting on the toilet. You're going to stare at it every day. Higher stakes negotiation.
All right, let's talk sourcing. Where do you actually buy this stuff without paying a premium?
Four tiers. Tier 1, local restaurant supply stores. Cash and carry operations in industrial areas, open to the public. Walk in, grab a GN pan off the shelf, pay at the register. Prices are essentially wholesale plus a small markup. The experience alone is worth it. You realize 90% of home organization products are just rebranded commercial items with a 300% markup.
Tier 2?
Online restaurant supply. Webstaurant store, KTOM, Restaurant Depot's online store. Prices slightly higher than local cash and carry, but enormous selection. Webstaurant store has flat $8 shipping on many items, remarkable given that GN pans are heavy. Downside is you can't inspect before buying, and returns can be a hassle.
Tier 3.
Industrial suppliers. Granger, McMaster, Carr, Uline, Global Industrial. Higher prices than restaurant supply because they're selling to maintenance departments with procurement budgets. But broader selection, commercial LED fixtures, shelving, brute bins. Uline has a massive catalog and fast shipping, though prices are 20 to 30% above restaurant supply for equivalent items.
And tier 4?
Auctions and surplus. GovDeals, government surplus auctions, is where school districts offload old equipment. Restaurant liquidation auctions happen whenever a restaurant closes. You can get industrial shelving, speed racks, GN pans at 10 to 20% of retail. The catch is you're buying used, you pick it up yourself, and the timing is unpredictable. This is for the committed hunter, not the weekend shopper.
So for Daniel, start at tier 1. Find a local restaurant supply store this weekend. Walk around, look at prices, buy one thing. Then graduate to tier 4 when he's ready for the thrill of the hunt.
And the key insight across all four tiers. Never buy the home edition of an industrial product. William Sonoma sells Gastronorm-style pans for 3 times the price of Webstaurant store because they've added a bamboo lid and called it artisanal. It's the same stainless steel. You're paying for the word artisanal.
The word artisanal is the most expensive ingredient in any product.
It really is.
What are the hidden costs and gotchas here?
Several. Industrial products often don't include mounting hardware because they assume you're a contractor with a truck full of anchors. The Bobrick comes with a mounting plate but no wall anchors. Commercial shelving comes with feet but not floor protection for hardwood. GN pans need a speed rack or dedicated shelf. They don't nest efficiently in a standard cabinet drawer. Euroboxes are 600 millimeters deep and standard residential shelving is often 450 to 500. You need the right shelving or they'll hang off the edge. And they're heavy. A stack of 5 full Euroboxes weighs significantly more than equivalent SA Melabins. A GN pan full of liquid is heavy and the edges are sharp. Minor things, but they add up.
The other gotcha is the partner who didn't sign up for any of this.
That's the real hidden cost. You save $50 on a trash can and spend it on relationship friction. My advice, have the aesthetic conversation before buying. Show pictures. Find the overlap. Maybe the answer is industrial storage in the pantry and normal stuff everywhere else. Maybe it's one statement piece per room. But don't surprise your partner with a Bobrick dispenser.
Unless you're very fast.
Speed isn't a sustainable procurement strategy.
Let's complete the pattern. Daniel gave us Euroboxes to Semla, as Gastronorm Pan is to Pyrex. What else fits?
Factory floor bin is to Simple Human. Commercial LED strip is to Philips Hue. Bobrick is to CB2 holder. Commercial sheet pans, the aluminum ones from a restaurant supply store, $4 each, are thicker gauge, don't warp, and are a fraction of the price of the ones at Sur La Table. Restaurant kitchen towels, White terry cloth, packs of 12 for $15, are more absorbent, more durable, and bleach safe. Consumer dish towels are $6 each and decorative first, functional second. The restaurant towel is the Eurobox of textiles.
Cleaning supplies?
Commercial concentrated cleaners from a janitorial supply store. A gallon of concentrate makes 64 gallons of ready-to-use cleaner and costs $12. The consumer equivalent is $4 per spray bottle that's 95% water. You're paying to ship water.
The pattern is everywhere once you start looking.
And once you see it, you can't unsee it. Every product in your home becomes a question. What's the commercial version of this, and why am I paying triple for the consumer one?
Daniel's prompt is really about a way of seeing. He's identified an arbitrage opportunity between two markets that sell to completely different customers with completely different expectations.
The commercial market sells to people who optimize for total cost of ownership. The consumer market sells to people who optimize for first purchase price and aesthetics. The commercial customer calculates cost per year over a decade. The consumer customer calculates cost right now and whether it matches the curtains.
Ed, the commercial customer has no curtains.
The commercial customer has a procurement department.
So where does this end? Is there a ceiling on how industrial a home can get before it stops being a home?
The ceiling is different for everyone, but it's real. Eurobox is in the pantry, GN pans in the kitchen, a brute bin in the laundry room, that's just smart shopping. When you start installing commercial faucets with foot pedals and restaurant-grade dishwashers that run a cycle in 90 seconds, that's a lifestyle choice, not a purchasing decision.
The foot pedal sink is a line.
The foot pedal sink is a line for most people, though if you cook a lot, it's better. You don't touch the faucet with raw chicken hands.
Herman.
I'm not saying I want one. I'm saying I understand why someone would.
You want one.
I'd want one.
All right, let's bring this home. What's the actionable checklist for Daniel?
Step 1. Visit a local restaurant supply store this weekend. Don't buy anything, just walk around and let the reality of the markup sink in. Step 2. Measure your shelving and cabinets before buying anything. The 600mm Eurobox depth is the critical number. Step 3. Buy one factory floor bin or one GN pan and live with it for a month before converting the whole apartment. See if you actually like the experience or just the idea. Step 4. Have the aesthetic conversation with your partner before buying. Show pictures of elevated industrial spaces. Find the overlap.
And step 5. Send us your industrial to consumer conversions. Office furniture, textiles, cleaning supplies, whatever you've found. We'll compile a master list.
The cutting room floor detail. Restaurant supply stores sell carbon steel pans for $12 that are functionally identical to the $100 ones at boutique cookware shops. Same material, same gauge, same performance. The boutique version has a nicer handle and a brand story. The restaurant version has a utilitarian handle and no story at all. It just works.
The pattern holds everywhere.
It really does.
Here's what I keep coming back to. Daniel's prompt is funny. The McDonald's toilet paper dispenser is a funny image, but underneath, it's something serious. We're surrounded by products that are worse and more expensive than they need to be, because they're sold through a consumer market that adds cost at every layer. Branding, packaging, retail markup, lifestyle marketing. The industrial market strips all of that away and gives you the thing itself at its real price, built to actually last. That's not just a shopping tip. That's a critique of how we buy everything.
And the trade-off is you have to do the aesthetic work yourself. The consumer market bundles design with function. The industrial market gives you pure function and says you figure out the rest. Some people find that liberating. Some people find it exhausting. Daniel clearly finds it exhilarating.
He's out there right now, looking at his stylish toilet paper holder, quietly planning his next move.
The Bulbrick is still $28. It's not going anywhere.
Anna's going to come home one day and find a commercial faucet with foot pedals.
And we'll be here for that episode.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you found an industrial equivalent that changed your life, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro. With text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
They thanks for listening to our show. My weird prompts, where odd thoughts go, from sloth slow takes to facts on cue. We chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.